This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه, he narrates that he was named after his uncle أنس بن النضر رضي الله عنه. And he narrates to us his final moments in a verse in the Quran that was revealed about his uncle and those like him and the topic of our khutbah today. He says that his uncle missed the battle of Badr. وَشَقَّ عَلَيْهِ ذَلِكَ. And it was very like heavy upon him that he missed the greatest day, or one of the greatest days in the history of Islam, يَوْمَ الْفُرْقَانِ يَوْمَ الْتَقَى الْجَمْعَانِ, the day the two armies met. And so he said that if Allah were to allow me to witness another battle with the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, لَيَرَيَنَّ اللَّهُ مَا أَصْنَعُ, I indeed will, Allah will certainly see what I will do. And Anas bin Malik says he didn't say anything beyond that so as not to be too bold, but he made a commitment to himself that if Allah gives me the chance, I will show my sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it wasn't long after the battle of Badr where he had his chance. In the battle of Uhud, when the Muslims were initially winning the battle, as we know, and the archers came down from the mount, and they were attacked from behind, and the army became intertwined with one another. The front ranks of the back ranks, Muslims were fighting Muslims, the non-Muslims from behind, it was a mess. And in this chaos, a rumor went around that the Prophet was killed. And so some of the Sahaba, hearing that, didn't know what to do. And as we know, some sat down, some fled the mountain, some went back to Medina. Now Anas ibn Nadr is there. And he made this vow to Allah, that Allah will most certainly see from me the truthfulness in my desire if He gives me the chance. And so as he sees Muslims sitting down, he says, Allahumma inni abra'u ilayka mimma sana'a ha'ula, O Allah, I am free from what these people are doing. Wa'atadhiru ilayka mimma sana'a ha'ula, and I take pardon from what these people are doing. Yani the Muslimin who sat and left the battle and the Mushrikeen who are fighting the Muslims. And then he goes forward and he meets Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu anhu wardah. And he tells Sa'd, Ya Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, al-jannatu wa rabbin nadar. He says, oh Sa'd, paradise, I swear by my father. Paradise, inni la'ajdu rihaha min duni Uhud. I can indeed smell its fragrance from around the mountain of Uhud. And he went forth and he fought bravely and valiantly until he was martyred after he was struck over 80 times. And Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, the one who the throne of Allah shook at his death, he says, O Messenger of Allah, I could not do what Anas ibn Nadr did. He had an opportunity to show his truthfulness and sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he showed it. And Allah revealed the verse in Surah Al-Ahzab about him, where Allah says, مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُوا اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. Allah says, amongst the believers are men who were true in their promise they made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ, and amongst them are those who fulfilled that promise, that vow that they made. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ, And amongst them also are some who are waiting for the chance to fulfill that promise. وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا And they did not change in the least bit. Anas ibn Malik, he says, this verse was revealed about my uncle Anas ibn Nadr and those like him, like Mus'ab ibn Umair and Hamza ibn Abdul Muttalib and the others who were martyred in the Battle of Uhud. Now when we look at the understanding of this verse, how do we understand this verse? Many have understood it to be that مِمَّنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ Allah says, some of them are those who fulfilled their promise. And that means that those who died in the path of Allah. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ And some are waiting, meaning waiting either for shahada or for nasr min Allah, either for shahada or for victory from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the common understanding of the verse. But then we come across a very interesting narration. Imam at-Tirmidhi records and others, authentic hadith, in which in a time in which the companions were shy to ask the Prophet of Allah any questions out of reverence for the Prophet of Allah, when they would see a stranger in Medina, they would ask him the questions to ask the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a Bedouin man, foreign to Medina, comes into the masjid and they see him. So they tell him, go ask the Prophet of Allah about مِمَّنْ قَضَى نَحْبَ Who are those who fulfilled that promise, as the verse said in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse 23. So the man goes to the Messenger of Allah, and he says, O Messenger of Allah, who is the one, or who are the ones, who مِمَّنْ قَضَى نَحْبَ who fulfilled their promise to Allah? So the Prophet ﷺ remained silent and ignored him. And then he asked a second time, and again the Prophet ignored him. And then he asked a third time, and again the Prophet ﷺ ignored him. Then Talha ibn Ubaidillah, he stands up. He says, I was near the door of the masjid, and I was wearing a green garment. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw Talha standing. And then he says, Aina sa'idu amman qada nahba? Where is the man who was asking about those who fulfilled their promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he said, Here I am, O Messenger of Allah. And the Prophet says, Hada mimman qada nahba. And he pointed to Talha ibn Ubaidillah. He says, Talha ibn Ubaidillah is someone who has fulfilled his promise. In another hadith, he says, Man ahabba an yanduru ila rajulin yamshi ala wajhi al-ard. Whoever would like to see a man who is walking on the surface of the earth, waqad qada nahba, and he indeed fulfilled his promise to Allah, fan yanduru ila hadha. And he pointed to Talha ibn Ubaidillah. But Talha is alive. Talha has not died a shaheed. And so the question then is, how do we understand the ayah? Because the verse says, there are believers who are true, who are sincere in their promises they made and their vow they made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some have fulfilled that promise and others are waiting. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرْ Some are waiting. So how do we understand the ayah? What we understand is that it's not necessarily those who died in the path of Allah, but rather, those who fulfilled their promise, their vow, they played the role that was necessary for them to play at that moment in time. And in doing so, Allah granted them Jannah. Talha ibn Ubaidillah, in the Battle of Uhud. You know who the hero was of the Battle of Uhud? It was Talha ibn Ubaidillah. He was the one who defended the Prophet with his body and was taking swords and arrows into his body. He was the one whose finger was cut off. He was the one whose arm became paralyzed, defending the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was the one who bent down when the Messenger of Allah was trying to climb up a boulder. And he was weakened by his injuries and he was wearing two sets of armor and he wasn't able to climb up. Talha squatted down and lifted the Prophet of Allah up until the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Awjaba Talha, he's been granted paradise." And that's why he didn't leave the battle until he told Hassan ibn Thabit, قُلْ فِي طَلْحَ Say poetry in honor of Talha. So he recited lines of poetry. Abu Bakr recited lines of poetry and the like. But Talha ibn Ubaidillah was the hero of Uhud. But he wasn't martyred in the battle of Uhud. That's why we know the famous story of Uthman ibn Affan. When he continued donating and donating and donating the jaysh that was going out. Until the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, مَا ضَرُّ عُثْمَانُ مَا عَمِنَ بَعْدَ الْيَوْمِ Uthman will not be harmed by whatever he does after today. That's why we know the companion of Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a, who participated in the Battle of Badr, the same battle Anas ibn Nadr wished he was there at.
In Fatih Mecca, you fast forward to near the end of the life of the Prophet ﷺ, when the Prophet ﷺ is getting ready to go to Mecca, and it was a secret. Nobody knew. Mecca didn't know. Even Medina didn't know. The Prophet kept it under tight wraps. And finally, when the announcement was made, Hatib, he wrote a letter and he sent it to Mecca to warn them about what the Muslims are coming. But he didn't do it out of kufr, but he did it because he didn't have family there and he was thinking, in case anything goes wrong, and in case anything goes bad, they owe me a favor now because I warned them. But Allah revealed to the Prophet that he did so. And so the letter that he sent was captured before it was reached Mecca and brought back. And Hatib was brought before the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet asked him, why did you do that? And he said, O Messenger of Allah, don't rush to judgment. I didn't do it out of disbelief in you, nor in hoping you would be killed. I didn't do it for that. I was afraid for myself. But I didn't do it out of disbelief. Amr al-Khattab is standing there hearing this. He admits to treason. So he says, O Messenger of Allah, let me cut off the head of this munafiq. Amr al-Khattab wasn't messing around. And you know the Prophet ﷺ told Amr al-Khattab, he says, مَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ اللَّهِ طَلَعَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَدْرِ O Amr, how do you know that perhaps Allah looked down upon the people of Badr and said, فَقَالِ اِعْمَلُوا مَا شِئْتُمْ Do whatever you want. And so the point is, when Allah says, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَىٰ نَحْبَهُ There are those who fulfilled their promise to Allah. The verse, it mentions the necessary ingredients that not only qualify Anas ibn Nadab and Mus'ab ibn Umayr and Hamza, but can qualify all of us. Can qualify anybody from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the time of his to the time of the Day of Judgment. From here to Palestine, to Sudan, to anywhere in the world. They can meet the qualities of this verse and get the reward that this verse promises and the next verse promises. So what is it? As-sidqu ma'allah. Min al-mu'minina rijal. صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهَ عَلَيْهِ Amongst the believers are men and women who were sincere in their commitment and their promises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الصِّدْقُ مَعَ اللَّهِ That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told a Bedouin man. He told him that إِن تَصْدُقِ اللَّهِ يَصْدُقِ If you are sincere towards Allah, Allah will fulfill your wish. This Bedouin had gone out with the Messenger of Allah and the companions. And when he got some booty of war, he came to the Prophet and he said, Oh Messenger of Allah, I didn't go out for this. I don't want any of the ghanima. He says, Rather, O Messenger of Allah, I would love to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps an arrow would strike my throat and come out from the back. And I would die a shaheed. And the Prophet told him, if you are sincere, Allah will give you your wish. And not soon thereafter, he said that statement, the battle ensued. Another battle ensued. And he was brought, carried to the Prophet of Allah. And the Prophet saw him and he said, Ahu, ahu, is this the same man who just made that statement? And they said, yes, he is. And the Prophet said, Sadaq Allah fa sadaqah. He was truthful, sincere to Allah. So Allah fulfilled his wish and his sincerity, his desire. And then the Prophet of Allah took off his own cloak and wrapped him in that cloak and prayed janazah upon himself and made dua for him. That's why the Prophet of Allah, he says in a hadith, Allahumma hadha, he made dua for him, but then he says in the hadith about the one, he says, Man sa'ala Allah shahada bi sidq. Whoever asks Allah for shahada with sincerity, he says, بَلَّغَهُ اللَّهُ مَنَازِلَ الشُّهَدَاءِ وَإِن مَاتَ عَلَىٰ فِرَاشِهِ Allah will give him the rank of martyrs even if he dies on his bed. Again, sincerity in your truthfulness and sincerity in your desire for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very interesting hadith. The Prophet said to people of four kinds. There are kinds who have wealth and knowledge. So their knowledge gives them taqwa. And so they spend their wealth fulfilling the rights of Allah and keeping the ties of kinship. And that is the best type of person. And then there's a second person who Allah has given knowledge, but has not given any wealth to, or not given much wealth to. But in his knowledge of how he's supposed to spend his wealth, he has a sincere intention that, Oh Allah, if you were to give me wealth, I would spend it in your cause, I would fulfill your rights, and I would keep the ties of kinship. So the Prophet ﷺ says that he and the one who spends all his money are the same in ajr. Even though he didn't spend a penny. He may not spend a penny his whole life because he doesn't have that ability. But because of a sincerity of intention, Allah gives him the same reward as someone who may have spent millions in the path of Allah, keeping the ties of family and spending in zakah and sadaqah. And then the other two types of people are the opposite. One who doesn't have knowledge but has wealth. Right? The second category had wealth but no knowledge. Had knowledge but no wealth. The third has wealth but no knowledge. So he doesn't know how to spend the money. He doesn't keep the ties of kinship. He doesn't fulfill Allah's rights. The Prophet says, this is the worst kind of person. And then a fourth person who has neither money nor knowledge. But if he had the money, he's looking at this person spending in haram and not doing fulfilling the rights of Allah. He says, I wish I could be like him. And Allah says, this fourth person, even though he has no money, is equal in sin to the like of the third person. But you see where your sincerity can get you, where your sincerity of intention can get you. So the first ingredient this ayah outlines for us is sidq ma'allah. Sincerity with your promise to Allah and your commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of us, you know, there's no one here who does not have a desire for a free Palestine. There's no one here who wouldn't give their whatever they could to save a child or to bring medicine to an injured mother or an elderly man. Nobody would spare anything. So if you are sincere in that, then Allah will reward you like that. But then Allah, the verse says, مِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. And there are those who are waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting for that opportunity. Waiting for that chance. That perhaps I can show my sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps I can do something to help those who are oppressed, to uplift the downtrodden, to heal the sick, to treat the injured. Maybe I can do something. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. And if you are in that category, then it's upon you to prepare your heart, to prepare yourself. So when the opportunity comes, you can give, you can help a life, you can save someone. But this verse kept, you know, as I was preparing, thinking, what do I talk about for this khutbah? This verse kept going through my mind because when you see the videos that we see, and I just saw again today a video of a journalist who was his last video he posted, and it was with his 11-month-old daughter and with his wife, and they're in their home. And his wife is holding their 11-month-old daughter, and the bombs are literally shaking the walls and the windows of the house. And imagine, just for a moment, I just kept thinking, what is life like? I mean, for them, literally, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ, and some are waiting, it's as if they're waiting for death. Waiting for the next bomb that is going to... And then this man who posted that video a few days later, it was a month ago, but a few days later, he died. He started his own film company, and of course we know journalists are the primary target, along with physicians and academics. He was killed, and he left behind his 11-month-old orphan daughter. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. And some of them are literally sitting and waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting for death. Or waiting for help. Or waiting for victory. Waiting for shahada. When you see Dr. Ghassan, the plastic surgeon who's there, and he literally said in his own words, I have come to peace with, I've come to terms that I might die. When you see Dr. Najjar, he's in the hospital, and his own father is brought in as one of those who were killed. He's treating his own family. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. Some are waiting, and they're thinking that maybe I'm next, and my family's next. But subhanAllah, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was asked, Ya Rasulullah, مَا بَعْلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُفْتَنُونَ فِي قُبُورِهِمْ إِلَّا الشَّهِيدِ. O Messenger of Allah, how is it that all the believers can be tried and tested in their grave? There will be a test in the grave, except for the shaheed. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he says, كَفَى بِبَارِقَةِ السُّيُوفِ عَلَىٰ رَأْسِهِ فِتْنَةً. It's enough of the flashing of the swords over their heads is enough of a fitna, so they don't have the fitna of the grave. So what then of the fitna of bombs, 1,000, 2,000 pound bombs falling over the heads of the brothers and sisters in Gaza? وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ. They're waiting. They're waiting for shahada. They're waiting for the help of Allah. They're waiting for people around the world to stand up. And you and I are also waiting. We're waiting for what? The opportunity to help. The opportunity to make a difference. You and I, when we have that desire to pray in a free Aqsa, when you and I have the desire to not see any more children displaced in Sudan, when you and I have the desire for Muslims, for non-Muslims, for people to live free of oppression, to live with food and clean water, when you have that sincere desire, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ, then Allah will reward you for that sincere desire if you are truthful with Allah. من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهد الله عليه وأقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه غفور رحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. What we learn from this verse in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number 23, is that it's not just dying for the sake of Allah, as we see 25,000 Palestinians have now died, over 10,000 children. But it's not just dying, it's living for the sake of Allah. Are you and I ready and willing and committed to live our life for Allah, to change our life, to leave off things that we shouldn't be doing, to engage more in things we should be doing, to building our iman, building our taqwa, increasing in our good deeds? Maybe it's easy, a moment and you're gone. But what about living a life for Allah? What about when you're called to donate? What about when you're called to salah? What about when you're called to tahajjud? When you're called to fasting and sadaqah and the like? Are we willing to do that? And if we are, then perhaps we can be like Uthman ibn Affan, when the Prophet of Allah said, nothing will harm him after today. Or Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a, when he participated in the Battle of Badr, and he did something so grave. But Allah perhaps looked at him and said, do what you want, you are forgiven. Sincerity with Allah, followed by action. That's what Allah asks of us. So we ask Allah to give us that sincerity. We ask Allah to make us amongst the truthful and the sincere. We ask Allah to make us amongst those who would be keys to victory for the Muslims in Palestine, and keys to the lifting of oppression from people around the world. We ask Allah to make us amongst those who feed those who are hungry and give water to those who are thirsty. We ask Allah to allow us to be amongst those who treat those who are sick and allow us to provide medicine to those who need medicine. We ask Allah to make us amongst those who will be amongst the mafatihul khayr, the keys to goodness and blessings in our communities and in the world around us. We ask Allah to give victory to the people of Gaza and the people of Palestine. We ask Allah to allow us to pray in Masjid Al-Aqsa when it is free and we are in security. We ask Allah to lift the oppression from them and to give them victory over their enemies. Oh Allah, we ask you to help the people of Sudan. We ask you to help the people of Burma and the people of China and the people all over the world who are struggling and suffering. Oh Allah, you are our Lord. Oh Allah, our cries and the tears of our children are not hidden from you. Oh Allah, the cries of the mothers are not hidden from you. Oh Allah, the tears of the fathers are not hidden from you. Oh Allah, the pain of the children and the pain of the mothers and the fathers, oh Allah, are not hidden from you. Oh Allah, you are more merciful to us than our own mothers. Oh Allah, you are more generous to us than anyone who is generous. So Allah, we ask you, we beg of you, to show your kindness and your mercy and your gentleness to the Ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, lift from upon us the oppression of the oppressors. Oh Allah, lift upon us the oppression of the oppressors. Oh Allah, free us and allow us to be those who can live freely and humbly and worshiping you freely, O Allah. And O Allah, we ask you to allow us to be as servants to your servants. O Allah, we ask you to be mercy to the people of this earth. Allahumma ameen. Wa aqulu qawli hadha wa aqim as-salah.